WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, traffic, Justin Ellick, sports, and now.
Talking the news with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 2nd. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Rain on and off throughout the day, high 48. Tonight and overnight, the showers hang around, low 43. And then Wednesday, yeah, more rain, windy too, high 46. And looking ahead to Thursday, there's actually places in our listening area that'll get snow. Not here in the city, but if you're in like Ulster County, you'll get some maybe plowable snow. If you're walking out the door with us right now, it is 44 and cloudy in Mount Vernon up in Westchester County, 45 and raining in Highland Park down in New Jersey, and 46 and scattered clouds outside our Midtown studios. A whole lot to get to as we work our way up to the 6 o'clock hour. Sit in friends in the morning watching last night. Another successful liftoff for SpaceX. It seems like they're putting a rocket in the sky like once a week now. The Falcon 9 rocket took off last night from California's Vandenberg Space Force Air Force Base, about 150 miles north of Los Angeles.
3, 2, 1, ignition. And the liftoff of Falcon 9, go Starlink, go SpaceX.
Falcon 9 is supersonic.
Yeah, so that's apparently faster than the speed of sound. The rocket's contrails, visible for hundreds of miles, lighting up the skies from the central coast to San Diego, all of Southern California for that matter. After successfully separating from its payload, the rocket booster actually returned to Earth. But it seems almost weekly now for Elon Musk and those rockets bringing satellites into space. Also last night, former President Trump and his co-defendants have secured that $175 million bond in the New York civil fraud case. Trump secured the bond through Knight Specialty Insurance Company. Alina Habba, one of his attorneys, releasing a statement last night saying, as promised, President Trump has posted bond. He looks forward to vindicating his rights on appeal and overturning this unjust verdict. It was last Monday that a panel of judges from New York's appellate division granted the former president, his adult sons, and two former Trump Organization executives a 10-day stay of that $464 million judgment in their civil fraud case, and then permitted them to post a much reduced bond, which is still a lot of money, of $175 million. And this, of course, all came after that trial back in February, that 3-month-long trial where Judge Engeron fined Trump and his co-defendants after finding they had engaged in a decade of business fraud by falsely inflating the former president's net worth to get better loans and business deals. Down in Atlantic City yesterday, the mayor there, Marty Small, addressing the public, trying to explain why his house was searched last week. It was the first time he spoke out about this. And this story is bizarre because we're not getting all of the details. But law enforcement officers executed a search warrant at the Atlantic City mayor's home. And so he held this press conference yesterday. And so, of course, the reporters were saying, well, why did they do this search of your home? And the only thing he would say is why they didn't do a search of his home, if you follow me. This took place last Thursday. He spoke out about it yesterday. They took, by the way, cell phones and laptops from his home.
There's no corruption. We don't have Atlantic City Housing Authority money in our house. We don't have City of Atlantic City money in our house. I didn't steal anything. My wife didn't bring Atlantic City Board of Education money to our house as alleged. No, we don't have drugs in our house. And no, we don't have guns.
All right, so those are all the things that he says he's not involved in. Now, they're claiming it's some sort of family matter, but we're still scratching our heads on this one. The search of the home that he shares with his wife. His wife, by the way, is the superintendent of Atlantic City Public Schools. So he wouldn't discuss any specific details of the investigation, but he dispelled all those rumors that you heard just there, saying that it may have something to do with the family member. So reporter said, okay, what happened with that family member? And Small wouldn't say anything, but his lawyer spoke here.
We are not going to make any comment on that complaint, which I understand has already been filed, or on this investigation. We're not here to discuss underlying facts, underlying allegations. We're here to give you some context to explain to you that, like any family, the small family has challenges in raising children, and they do not merit intervention or oversight by the county prosecutor.
All right, okay, so it sounds like a family matter, but we don't know exactly what it was. We reached out to the prosecutor's office. They would not disclose the nature of the investigation, did not detail any potential findings or items that may have been removed from the home. Now, Mayor Small has had his problems before. He faced voter fraud charges more than a decade ago when he was a city council member, but he was acquitted. That was back in 2011. But Atlantic City is very similar to where I live, Hudson County, where it seems like lots of people are up to no good. I'm not suggesting the mayor is here, but stuff always goes on in these places, and it's never shocking, and it's not shocking in Atlantic City. Did you see this? This man in custody ramming his car into a security gate in an FBI office in Georgia yesterday. Here's another one where they're not giving us a lot of details. Apparently, this driver tried to follow another vehicle to get through the gates of this FBI office. It's right outside Atlanta.
There are no injuries. Agents of Bomb Techs are checking the vehicle as a precaution, as part of our standard operating procedures.
So you hear overhead, those are the helicopters. Video from the scene showed the car's front end smashed as it sat just inside the gate. There were no injuries. The person has not been identified, but the FBI and police have spoken to him.
Tried to follow in and tried getting into the gate, but our security precautions prevented him from getting in.
Yeah, so FBI officials say they prepare for situations like this where somebody tries to get into their office.
We actually trained for this type of situation. Yeah. We recently did have training to prevent this that we have done before.
Okay, so here's another one. We reached out to the FBI to find out what was going on. So far, this is what they say. They don't know what this guy was up to. They don't know a motive, don't have a motive. They're investigating him. WABC News Time 508. I was just looking at these numbers out of Chicago. Now, I know we shouldn't necessarily compare ourselves to the Windy City, but sometimes it feels, of course, incredibly violent here in New York City, and we're definitely going through one of those phases right now. And there's more to add to that story, by the way, as the morning wears on. But I was looking at these numbers from Chicago over the weekend. Oh, my God. Police investigating dozens of shootings across the city this holiday weekend. Now, we had 6 people shot in New York City over the weekend. 2 of them died. One of them was a 2-year-old who was injured, who's going to be okay, thank God. They caught the creep who shot him last night. But and that's 6 too many shootings, by the way, 6 too many people shot. But in Chicago over the weekend, 32 people were shot. 32. 4 of them dead. Community activist, Pastor Donovan Price, was at the scene at one of the deadly incidents. And Chicago, of course, has just been going through this for just years now.
It doesn't seem to end, but we must not get tired of helping. We must not lose hope. We must not lose faith.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't lose faith with that kind of thing. So 32 people shot. 21 of the shootings happened between Saturday night and Sunday morning. The victims who were killed include a 29-year-old man, a 41-year-old man, a 19-year-old woman, and another woman who was one of 5 shot Easter Sunday morning on the west side. So 32 people shot in Chicago over the weekend. That's outrageous. 510, let's go down to D.C. The White House pushing back against Republican criticism aimed at President Biden for marking Sunday as Transgender Day of Visibility. So Republicans were upset that that was celebrated on the same day as Easter.
So surprised by the misinformation that's been out there around this. And I want to be very clear. Every year for the past several years, on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility is March.
Yes, so it happened to be that they coincided this year because Easter obviously is different every year. So the White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre telling reporters that the president stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of Americans.
And as we know, for folks who understand the calendar and how it works, Easter falls on different Sundays, right, every year. And this year it happened to coincide with Transgender Visibility Day.
Yeah, so that proclamation Sunday sparked just outrage from conservatives, including former President Trump, Speaker Mike Johnson, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott. But the White House saying, well, that's the day this day is celebrated every year.
Now, sadly, and it's not surprising, right? It is actually unsurprising that politicians are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric. It is dishonest what we have heard the past 24 hours. It is untrue what we heard over the weekend.
All right, let's go overseas at 5:11. Top Iranian military commander targeted in an Israeli airstrike on the Iranian embassy in Syria yesterday. Former senior director of the National Security Council, Michael Allen, explains how he expects Iran to respond to all this.
I think they'll want something that's more than symbolic, but short of outright declaration of war with Israel, because neither Hezbollah or Iran want that.
So Iran State TV confirming the commander in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard was killed in this attack. It's believed the commander was in charge of shipping Iranian weaponry to Hezbollah militants in Lebanon, who, of course, then threaten Israelis on the northern border of Israel.
I think they'll launch some missiles by way of Hezbollah, probably into northern Israel.
Well, which they, by the way, have been doing every once in a while, lobbing a missile into Israel. Israeli forces now and always have been on that northern border. So this is the question, is will it now draw a wider conflict? So now will Israel be fighting a war in Gaza and also fighting a war in its northern border in Lebanon?
I still think the incentives for both parties, though, are not to have an outright war between the two.
So Israeli troops have been fighting Hezbollah along Lebanon's border since the war with Hamas broke out. The White House says that it is looking into this incident.
So, look, I'm aware of the reports. Our team is looking into it, so I'm not going to get ahead of anything just yet. But obviously, we're aware of the reports, and our team is looking into it.
Yeah, so Israel fighting on two fronts, in Gaza and on the Lebanese border there. While we're talking about that, Congressman Tim Walberg, attempting to clarify his recent controversial statement on the use of nuclear weapons in the Gaza Strip. In a video that's been circulating over the last couple of days, the Michigan Republican can be heard telling constituents that we should not be spending a dime on humanitarian aid, and says, instead he says this.
It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Get it over quick.
Yeah, so he says those bombs dropped by the U.S. on Japan during World War II led to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, of course. In a statement, though, the congressman says he was just using a metaphor to convey the need for Israel to win the war against Hamas in Gaza.
We shouldn't be spending a dime on humanitarian aid. It should be like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Get it over quick.
Yeah, so he says they didn't really mean to nuke Gaza. 5:14, President Biden going to visit Baltimore Friday following the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The press secretary saying the president will meet with federal and local officials and get a look at response efforts on the ground there.
The president is continuing to lead a whole-of-government approach to the collapse. President Biden and his team are working with Governor Moore, the congressional delegation, Mayor Scott, and numerous state and local officials to reopen the port.
And if somehow you missed this story, I'll explain what happened. The bridge collapsed last week after it was hit by a cargo ship hitting a support beam on the bridge. Six construction workers who were on the span were killed. Two of their bodies have been recovered.
The U.S. Coast Guard is coordinating a complex and highly coordinated effort to remove the wreckage with resources from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the state of Maryland, and others.
And as we told you yesterday, that container ship that smacked into the bridge, all 22 people who were on that ship still on it, waiting to be told when they can get off it, when it's safe to go back to shore. So, of course, we'll follow that story, which is crazy. And by the way, they are checking out bridges in the tri-state area. And they've picked some ones that are potentially dangerous. I don't know if you drive over any of them, but you see a lot of rust. We'll get into that as the morning wears on. But first, 5:15, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Happy Tuesday? Yeah, it's Tuesday. Happy there Tuesday. Good morning, Justin Ellis.
Happy Tuesday. Good morning to you, Noah Mladen. Beginning on the diamond in Arizona last night, Luis Gil had a successful outing in his return from Tommy John surgery, and the Yanks started the season on a 5-game winning streak for the first time in 32 years, beating the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-2. Anthony Volpe had his first career four-hit game, including two doubles and an RBI. Gil made his first MLB appearance since May 12, 2022, with an impressive fastball that touched triple digits, 100 miles an hour. The 25-year-old was a surprise addition to the Yankees' rotation, but manager Aaron Boone said the righty, quote, kicked the door in with standout performances during spring training. He rewarded that confidence last night, giving up one hit through four and two-thirds innings while walking three and striking out six. Game two for the Yanks in the desert, scheduled for tonight at 9:40 p.m. Nestor Cortez set to take the hill against Arizona's Zach Gallen. In Queens, the Metropolitans continue to spiral heel here early on in 2024, losing 5-0 to the visiting Detroit Tigers in what's their fourth straight loss to the season, or to start the season, I should say, a mark the franchise hasn't touched since 2005. Oddly enough, this game actually ended in 10 innings, with the teams combining to get just two runners, one apiece, into scoring position in the first nine innings before the Tigers broke the tie in the 10th. The Mets were also hitless in 19 plate appearances with a runner on base. Sean Manaea opened with a 5 2/3 no-hit innings, the deepest no-hit bid by a Mets pitcher making his debut before Andy Ibañez singled. He walked two and struck out eight. Manaea, that is.
Oh, that's a good sign, at least.
Yeah, listen, I mean, he's always had, you know, relatively good stuff, I mean, compared to the rest of the league. But it is pretty well thought that he's past his prime. So,
but they can't hit those Mets, can
no,
they?
No, they can't. And if you're not going to hit with runners on base, that's virtually the only way you can score runs, unless you're going to walk every single time. So, you know, I mean, you get a guy on base, you gotta
get him in.
Do what you can to get him in. You can't go over 19 there, no.
No.
Cannot go over 19 there. Second of three in Detroit for the Orange and Blue set for tonight at 7:10 p.m. The Mets will send out Adrian Hauser against Detroit's Casey Mize. Moving to the NHL now, where the Rangers dropped one at home to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Final score 5-2, effectively ending their five-game winning streak. Kako Kako and Jack Roslovich scored goals for the Rangers, and Igor Shesterkin finished with 16 saves. The Rangers still have wins in 7 of their last 9 games, points in 24 of their last 30 with a 22-6-2 record. Out in Philly, Brock Nelson scored about a minute and a half into overtime, and the Islanders preserved their playoff hopes with a 4-3 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Lee, Horvat, and Martin also scored for the Islanders, who moved within 4 points of Philadelphia for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. New York has 2 more games remaining on their schedule than the Flyers. Varlamov stopped 29 shots to help the Isles get their third win in 11 games. They'll be right back out there again tonight, facing off with the visiting Chicago Blackhawks at 7:30. As for the Devils, they returned to action a bit earlier at home in Newark, welcoming in the aforementioned Penguins for a 7 p.m. puck drop. On the NBA hardwood in Indiana, the Nets got routed by the Pacers, 133-111. Looking ahead to tonight in local basketball, the Knicks are back out there down south in Miami, gearing up for a 7:30 p.m. tip against the Heat. And finally, known the Final Four in the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament officially set. South Carolina, Iowa, NC State, and UConn are the ones left standing. That's your sports, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 520. Let's go down to D.C. It was the Easter egg roll on the White House lawn yesterday. And when they do this every year, Al Roker, who is a meteorologist, of course, on the Today Show, gets to interview whoever is occupying the White House. He's been doing it for a long time. So, of course, now it's President Biden, and it's a softball interview. It always is. So, of course, he asked the president about how things are going on the White House reelection campaign.
I just think people are so tired of the negativity that is propagated that they just want to get engaged. They want to change things.
You know, I saw people getting really upset about this interview, but it's, you know, he's a meteorologist. You know, he's not going to ask tough questions, so he did not.
I say we have the best economy in the world. We got to make it better. We really do have the best economy in the world. Jobs are up more than they've ever been. We're in a situation where the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years
the
is
president,
maintained.
Yeah, the president telling Al that he's feeling optimistic about November.
We're ready. I mean, I think the country's ready to come together in a way that I've never... I mean that sincerely. I'm truly optimistic.
And then it was on to the Easter egg roll. 40,000 kids? Is that possible? That many kids were on the lawn?
We just like opening up the place and let people see this is their place. Mm-hmm. And it always makes me feel good to look out there and see average Americans just walking around looking at what's going on because they own it. They own it.
Yeah, so this tradition goes back to 1878. President Hayes started it all back when he was in office. That's a president most people don't remember.
This is education. So as you can see, there's something for everybody here. So we have science projects. We have phys ed class. You can learn about the solar eclipse that's coming. We have a reading nook. We have dinosaurs. Something for everybody.
Yeah, a big deal for the kids. That was First Lady Jill Biden. Attorneys on both sides of a Texas immigration law will be back in appeals court come tomorrow.
The U.S. Justice Department's lawsuit says the state's SB4 oversteps federal authority The U.S. Supreme Court let the law go into effect briefly before a three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans put it back on hold. The sweeping immigration law gives Texas law enforcement the power to arrest people who they believe are crossing the border illegally. Both sides will have 30 minutes to present their arguments concerning aspects of the bill that passed late last year. Federal authorities say it violates the U.S. Constitution. I'm Lisa Taylor.
WABC News Time 522, the last survivor, of the Japanese attack on the USS Arizona in Pearl Harbor has passed away.
Lou Conter died Monday in Grass Valley, California, according to his family. Conter was 18 when he enlisted in the Navy and was at his post on the morning of December 7, 1941, when Japanese bombers targeted the Arizona and dozens of other ships at port. After surviving the attack, Conter went to flight school and later flew with the Black Cats, the first U.S. version of a stealth bomber. Lou Conter was 102 years old. John Brenizzi, NBC News Radio.
All right, let's go out to California. The union representing those fast food workers who got a pay raise on Monday to $20 an hour says this is good for the workers, and he thinks it's also good for the workplaces like McDonald's and these fast food eateries.
In the real world, we know that a lot of workers are actually earning already more than $16 minimum wage in the state of California, and that the increase to $20 an hour is not going to be a $4 increase for each worker.
Yeah, so you had these two sides really pushing back. Ali Busmanti is with the Roosevelt Institute, says this new analysis shows restaurant owners can afford to pay these fast food workers the new minimum wage.
California businesses can absorb this increase in the minimum wage without increasing prices and without having to impact employment in any kind of negative way.
Yeah, but it's interesting to see the restaurants. You had McDonald's and some of the other ones saying, no, they're going to raise prices because that's what it's going to take to pay the workers $20 an hour. The reason they raised it to $20 an hour for fast food workers in California was they say that they were living under the poverty level with the salary that they were making and needed to make more.
We are in this fight because workers are worth more and our families deserve better than poverty wages.
AT&T sending letters to customers saying data from 73 million accounts has been leaked onto the dark web. That's just what you want to hear. One cybersecurity expert says personal information like social security numbers, all that at risk now thanks to this leak.
Even if you did not get a letter, if you have ever used any of the AT&T services, assume that if your information was with them, it has been breached.
Yes, so some of it's just easy stuff. Change your password. Add a multi-factor authorization, check your credit score, make sure that, you know, everything's okay.
Add multi-factor authentication,
change
your passwords that you had before, monitor your personal information with one of the services. Some of the information breached was sensitive, such as your social security information. Monitor your credit score and monitor use for any new applications using your social security number.
Yeah, anyway, either way, AT&T apologizing. Apparently, we'll hear more from them in the coming days. 525, big news this week as UPS lands this massive contract, lockdowning a deal right from underneath FedEx.
On Monday, UPS revealed it's soon going to be the primary air cargo provider in the country through its new partnership with the United States Postal Service. The deal, Forbes reports, as a big move expected to add zeros to the company's already billion-dollar revenues. The contract was being negotiated with FedEx, but the two parties failed to come to an agreement. UPS didn't release details about the terms during the release, but company shares rose nearly 2% during a pre-market trading. I'm Katie Gray.
WABC News Time 526. The EPA is facing pushback over new rules that are limiting emissions of greenhouse gases and other pollutants by trucking companies. The vice president of JKC Trucking says he insists these new rules are ultimately going to hurt the consumer in the end.
Complying with these mandates will push many carriers out of business and tighten capacity nationwide, causing severe price inflation for all goods.
So these rules apparently aimed at pushing companies to adopt electric vehicles in order to stay in compliance. Supporters insist they'll save trucking companies money in the long term and provide numerous climate and health benefits. But the head of this trucking company says everybody's going to pay the price here, not just him.
All these costs have to be passed down. Where are they going to get passed down? They're going to get passed down to the end user, the American people.
Everything that we rely on every day, when the cost of transportation goes up, so do the cost of all those other things that we pay for.
Yeah. You know, the solar eclipse, it is Monday, right? Is that the 8th? Yeah, Monday the 8th. And so the public libraries here in the city, they've been handing out solar eclipse glasses. But now there's this worry that a lot of the stuff that's being sold online are fake eclipse glasses that could really hurt your eyes if you stare at the eclipse.
Anything that you can pick it up and see through it, it's not going to protect your eyes from the sun.
Yes, so that's one of the ways to know whether you have a fake pair of the eclipse glasses.
So they vetted these vendors. You can look for the manufacturer on the back of your glasses usually, and you can check against the list that's on the AAS website in order to make sure that even if you buy them off Amazon, they're from a good brand.
Yeah, by the way, you can go to WABCradio.com and check out the best glasses, or you can go to this organization, which is handles eye care, AAS.org, and they'll give you a sense of what are the best glasses to buy. The opening bell, it rings this morning after stocks got off to a rocky start to kick off the new month. Stocks slipped on concerns that the latest inflation data could slow the pace of the Federal Reserve's rate-cutting timeline. At the closing bell, the Dow fell 240 points, S&P 500 lost 10, NASDAQ rose 17 points. Coming up today, we'll keep an eye on job openings data and the release of auto sales numbers.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noah
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 533. Good morning. It is Tuesday, April 2nd. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Rain on and off throughout this day, high 48. Tonight and overnight, the showers hang around, low 43, and then tomorrow, yeah, more rain, windy too, high 46. If you're walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are, 44 cloudy in Mount Vernon up in Westchester County, 45 and raining in Highland Park down in New Jersey, and we'll call it 46 and overcast here in the city. We'll start this half hour right here in Manhattan, where there's been a number of recent attacks inside Central Park, the latest one including a woman who was hit with a hammer. This was early Monday morning. This 39-year-old woman in Central Park near 64th and Center Drive was approached by a man who hit her in the back with the hammer. The attack unprovoked. The wanted guy then took off on a moped. They have not caught up with him. And then you probably heard about the other one, which involved an attack on an actor who's in the TV show Boardwalk Empire. That also happened in the park. He was able to chase down the person who attacked him. This, of course, has people who walk through Central Park a little worried, but they say, well, it is Central Park, and maybe you should be careful when you walk through Central Park.
I come from Milan, and we also have, like, this big park in the city center. As a general rule, I would guess city parks at night are probably not the best places where to go.
Yeah, Michael Southbar, well-known for his role in Boardwalk Empire, was walking near 90th and East Drive when he was hit in the neck with a rock. He wasn't seriously injured. He then chased this guy down East 91st Street. Police then took this 27-year-old Xavier Israel into custody. He's one of those guys who's known to cops. He was charged with assault. People walking through the park say, you know, you just got to be aware when you're walking through the park and maybe not go in after dark.
Often I'm wearing my headphones, so I'm trying not to wear my headphones as much and be more aware.
Yeah, so there's been a number of recent assaults. Two robberies took place within the last week. A 38-year-old was robbed at knife point near East Drive. That was last Wednesday. Last Tuesday, two people sitting on a bench were robbed at knife point near Center Drive. Now, police think that there is a pattern here, and they may be able to connect those two incidents, maybe a group of teenagers, but so far they haven't caught up with those teenagers. Have you seen this? You probably have if you've taken the subway, even if you've just walked through the city over the last, well, even last year for that matter. Children selling snacks on the streets instead of spending time in school. It's like middle of the day, and these kids are out selling like Hershey bars and peanut butter crackers. They usually have a box. They want like a buck or $2 for them. What most of them are migrant children that apparently are put out onto the street to sell food and drink for the family. Councilwoman Joanne Areola has been trying for well over a year to get the city to do something about these hordes of migrant children of all ages that are sent into subways or busy street corners to sell that candy instead of going to school.
Their truancy is not being addressed. There's also the question of where are they getting these items to sell? When they're asked, they say someone comes from far away to give this to us. So they're also being exploited by people who are using them to sell their goods on the street.
Yeah, we don't know where that money ends up. It goes back into the family's pocket. Maybe someone's exploiting them. Mayor Adams has appointed a multi-agency task force to go into shelters where some of these migrant families are to convince parents to send their kids to school because they made it here and maybe they should be in class.
I saw that in Ecuador. I saw that in Mexico. I saw that in Colombia. So sometimes people bring their culture and how practices are done into the city, and we want to make sure that people understand children should be in school.
Councilwoman Areola says, look, the city's been really generous to these migrants. They now have even credit cards they can use to buy stuff in stores, so why are you putting your kids out on the streets?
They're receiving debit cards now. They have lodging. They have free call centers. They have free medical care. They're getting free education. There is no need for migrants to now become part of the problem of illegal street vending.
And it's all costing us billions of dollars. The Adams administration says it'll make sure parents know about after-school programs and that these migrant families who are here send their kids to class. WABC News Time 5:39. We've been following this story out of Astoria, Queens for, God, it's got to be a year now that neighbors on 21st Street and along that neighborhood are not getting their mail. And what's happening is, you know, they have those relay boxes. Maybe you see them on the street. They look like a regular mailbox that you would put your letter into, but you can't because what mail carriers do is they use those relay boxes to put bags of mail into that they then come and get later. But what's been happening is that people have been getting hold of those keys, these special keys that open those relay boxes, and they've been stealing that mail. And sometimes there's good stuff in there. So in this neighborhood in Astoria, they've been complaining for a year that things like passports don't come, checks don't come, medicine doesn't come because it's all stolen from these relay boxes. So you check in with them now and they say, it's still happening from Bayside to Woodside.
What is going on here? We feel abandoned, we feel unheard, and we feel violated, quite frankly.
I'm missing my passport.
I have neighbors up here. He didn't get his insulin.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Paychecks, driver's licenses have disappeared. And there's video, lots of it, by the way, of people stealing from these relay boxes. Apparently, these keys, these specialized keys, you can get them maybe even on Amazon. They're easy to find. But there's video of these guys breaking into these relay boxes, grabbing the bags, getting into cars and driving off. And I imagine they just rip through all the mail and try to find anything that might be worth something. Meantime, these people in the same neighborhood say the problem has not gone away. And the postal service hasn't responded to their questions about why it's not being fixed.
Nothing has been done. The locks haven't been changed. A second lock hasn't been added. There's no official notifications being sent to us at all.
Something has to be done. This is not safe for anybody.
Yeah, we reached out to the Postal Service. Have not heard back. The pain and tension from the war between Israel and Hamas continues to play out on the streets of New York City, the tri-state, the nation for that matter. No doubt you've seen tons of Palestinian protests. You had that one in St. Patrick's Cathedral over the weekend. Three people arrested for interrupting Easter services. Last night, there were actual fistfights outside a New Jersey synagogue in Teaneck as pro-Palestinian demonstrators showed up at an event, a fundraiser, an Israeli fundraiser at a synagogue there.
We stand by Israel 100%.
Yeah, that's the fighting. It got really ugly in Teaneck last night. The anger continues to rise between Palestinians and Israelis in Teaneck. The latest incident happened on this residential corner outside of the synagogue. Police were out in full force, keeping both sides apart. At times, things got out of hand. Officers were quick to sweep protesters from both sides off the streets, but there was some punches thrown. It was an event that they were raising money for this organization that provides dignified burials for Israelis that are slaughtered. And it was just a fundraiser at the synagogue, but this Palestinian group found out about it, and they were there to protest it.
Our country is turned upside down, but we'll come through it.
That I'm on the right side of the history.
Which these Israeli Zionists over here are saying are heroes are the ones, the biggest liars and war propagandists.
Monday wasn't the first time pro-Palestinian demonstrators have shown up in Teaneck. Back in October, the town council voted on a referendum to denounce Hamas. They were there in mass then. Last month, hundreds protested at an Israeli real estate event saying that they were selling stolen land. And last night, we haven't heard of any arrests. Now, there might have been, but we haven't heard from Teaneck police if they arrested anybody. But there were punches thrown from both sides.
If there's anti-Semitism, then they are going to, there will be people acting on it. There are people acting on it.
And last night, Teaneck residents say what happened Monday is not going to be the last time they're going to see this in their town. So they're standing together against these pro-Palestinian groups. This has been a story that's kind of connected to that as well. So in the aftermath of the October 7th massacre by Hamas inside Israel, there's been these controversies in small towns across the tri-state about flying flags. So there was some Westchester towns that were flying the Israeli flags after the massacre, and people were upset about that. Yesterday in Bhutan, there was a meeting in the town hall, this was last night, about which flag should go up in front of Bhutan Town Hall. This case, it's not about the Israeli flags. It's about a rainbow flag. So apparently lawmakers in Bhutan had given the green light to put up a rainbow flag in front of town hall in Bhutan, but they haven't done it yet. So the group that had pushed for it says, what's going on? They asked in this town hall meeting last night.
It complies with the ordinance, we were told by the town administrator, and then it's just sat there. Nothing's happened. And we didn't know what was going on until a different council member put in to revamp the ordinance.
Yeah, so they were scratching their heads saying, hey, lawmakers said we could put up this rainbow flag along with the American flag. But last night they had a discussion about this, these city council members in Bhutan. Lots of people showed up, people who say the only flag that should fly in front of town hall in Bhutan should be the American flag.
We said this should be one flag for the country, for everyone. If you put a different flag up there, what's to prevent other people coming in and want their flag up there?
There are many other places that people can put flags up, you know, so that's not an issue. But, you know, not in front of town hall.
Yes, so now they're trying to figure out if there's a compromise here.
If we could find some place in the middle to meet instead of just saying, no, there's no color in this community, we're not going to represent people.
2 years ago, there was a pride service celebration here at town hall with some temporary flagpoles.
Yeah, I can't even tell you how many of these towns have had this discussion over the last 6 months or so. In the case of Bhutan, New Jersey, small town, northern New Jersey, the town will have to take a vote on what flags can go up in front of town hall on April 15th. 5:45, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk where we find Justin Ellick.
Thank you, Noam Layden. Beginning on the diamond here in Arizona last night, Luis Gil had a successful outing in his return from Tommy John surgery, and the Yankees started the season on a five-game winning streak for the first time in 32 years, beating the Arizona Diamondbacks 5-2. Anthony Volpe had his first career four-hit game, including two doubles and an RBI. Gil made his first MLB appearance since May 12th of 2022 with an impressive fastball that touched triple digits from time to time. The 25-year-old was a surprise addition to the Yankees rotation, but manager Aaron Boone said the righty, quote, kicked the door in with standout performances during spring training. He rewarded that confidence last night, giving up one hit through 4 2/3 innings while walking three and striking out six. Game two for the Yanks in the desert is scheduled for tonight at 9:40 with Nestor Cortez set to take the hill against Arizona's Zach Gallen. Out in Queens, the Mets continue to spiral here early on in 2024, losing 5-0 to the visiting Detroit Tigers in what's their fourth straight loss to start the season, a mark the franchise hasn't touched since 2005. Oddly enough, this game actually ended in 10 innings, with the teams combining to just get two runners, one apiece, into scoring position in the first 9 innings before the Tigers broke the tie. In the 10th, the Mets were also hitless in 19 plate appearances with runners on base. Sean Manaea opened with 5 2/3 no-hit innings, the deepest no-hit bid by a Mets pitcher making his debut before Andy Abanez singled. So there was a lone bright spot there for the Metropolitans. He walked 2 and struck out 8. The second of 3 with Detroit in town is set for tonight at 7:10 p.m. The Mets will send out Adrian Hauser against Detroit's Casey Mize. Moving to the NHL now, where the Rangers dropped one at home to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Final score 5-2, effectively ending their 5-game winning streak. Kaapo Kakko and Jack Roslovich scored goals for the Rangers, and Igor Shesterkin finished with 16 saves. The Blue Shirts still have wins in 7 of their last 9 games and points in 24 of the last 30 with a 22-6-2 record. Out in Philly, Brock Nelson scored a minute and a half into overtime, and the Islanders preserved their playoff hopes with a 4-3 win over the Philadelphia Flyers. Lee, Horvat, Martin also scored for the Islanders and moved within 4 points of Philadelphia for the final spot in the Eastern Conference. New York has 2 more games remaining on their schedule than the Flyers. Semyon Varlamov stopped 29 shots to help the Islanders get their 3rd win in 11 games. They'll be right back out there again tonight, facing off with the visiting Chicago Blackhawks at 7:30. And that's for the Devils. They return to action a bit earlier at home in Newark, welcoming in the aforementioned Penguins for a 7 p.m. puck drop. On the hardwood in Indiana, the Nets got routed by the Pacers 133-111. Looking ahead to tonight in local basketball, the Knicks are back out there down south in Miami, gearing up for a 7:30 p.m. tip-off against the Heat. And finally, the Final Four in the NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament is officially set. South Carolina, Iowa, NC State, and UConn are the ones left standing. That's your sports note. And I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Let's catch you up on some of the big stories of the morning. Another successful liftoff last night for another SpaceX rocket. The Falcon 9 took off from California's Vandenberg Space Force Air Force Base. That's about 150 miles north of Los Angeles. On board, 22 Starlink satellites.
3, 2, 1, ignition. And liftoff of Falcon 9. Go Starlink, go SpaceX.
Falcon 9 is supersonic.
Faster than the speed of sound, the rocket's contrails, visible for hundreds of miles, lighting up the skies from the Central Coast to San Diego, all of Southern California. After successfully separating last night from its payload, the rocket booster itself returned to Earth. Also last night, former President Trump, his co-defendants have secured that $175 million bond in their civil fraud case here in New York. Trump securing the bond through the Knight Specialty Insurance Company. Alina Haba, one of the president's attorneys, putting out a statement last night saying, as promised, the president has posted bond. She went on to say he looks forward to vindicating his rights on appeal and overturning the unjust verdict. It was last Monday, you'll remember, a panel of judges from the New York Appellate Division granted the former president, his adult sons, and 2 former Trump Organization executives this 10-day stay of what was then a $464 million judgment in that case. They reduced it to $175 million, and that all came down following that 3-month trial with Judge Engeron, finding Trump and his co-defendants after finding they had engaged in a decade of business fraud by falsely inflating the former president's net worth to get better loans and business deals. Of course, the president, former president, pushing back against that, appealing that case. Down in Atlantic City, we were looking for clarity in this case with Atlantic City Mayor Marty Small. His house was searched, a search warrant executed at his home last Thursday. They did not say anything about it at the time, but he held a press conference yesterday, and they implied that this was some sort of family matter, but they wouldn't give us any details. The mayor said he's had his cell phone and laptops taken from his home by these police officers, the Atlantic County Prosecutor's Office, who executed the search warrant. The only thing he would talk about yesterday were the things that he had not done and why he was, and he's not being charged with anything. That's what he claims.
There's no corruption. We don't have Atlantic City Housing Authority money in our house. We don't have City of Atlantic City money in our house. I didn't steal anything. My wife didn't bring Atlantic City Board of Education money to our house as alleged. No, we don't have drugs in our house. And no, we don't have guns.
His wife, by the way, superintendent of Atlantic City Public Schools, wouldn't discuss any specific details about what this investigation is about. His lawyer was with him by his side. Reporters are saying, okay, well, if the mayor's not going to tell us what it's about, maybe you will, because there are rumors that it involves a family member. This is what Smalls, the mayor of Atlantic City, his lawyer said yesterday.
We are not going to make any comment on that complaint, which I understand has already been filed, or on this investigation. We're not here to discuss underlying facts, underlying allegations. We're here to give you some context to explain to you that like any family. The small family has challenges in raising children, and they do not merit intervention or oversight by the county prosecutor.
All right, so clearly there's some sort of family issue by that statement. We reached out to the prosecutor's office for more clarity. They did not give us any. Did you watch the video of that car ramming the security gate at an FBI office outside of Atlanta in Georgia yesterday? Apparently, this driver tried to follow another vehicle into this gate of this office, but the gate closed, and then he smashed into the gate.
There are no injuries. Agents of Bomb Techs are checking the vehicle as a precaution, as part of our standard operating procedures.
Yes, so we saw a video from the scene. It shows the car's front just smashed in. There's police officers, FBI agents everywhere. Nobody was injured, but we don't know what this guy's all about.
Tried to follow in and tried getting into the gate, but our security precautions prevented him from getting in.
Yeah, FBI says it's always ready for this kind of thing.
We actually trained for this type of situation. We recently did have training to prevent this that we have done before.
Yeah, but they didn't tell us anything about this person, his name or anything, or a motive for why he would smash into the gate at that FBI office. A mom in Jersey City sharing her story after she says a teacher's aide at a public school in Jersey City pulled her daughter's hair out. Aquila Perez says she's speaking out because she doesn't want the same thing to happen to another child. Perez's daughter returned home from school with a bald spot after she says a teacher's aide allegedly yanked a braid out of her head because she wasn't paying attention in class.
My stomach dropped. I was like, I hope that's not what I think it is. It's a terrible feeling to send your child to a place where they're supposed to be safe and for them to come home with their hair pulled out and sad and saying that their teacher hurt them. It's really heartbreaking.
So Perez took photos of her 5-year-old daughter, Zuena, as soon as she got home from PS 26 in Jersey City. She had cornrowed her daughter's hair, and that was one of the things that was pulled out of her head. She says her daughter has ADHD, and the school knows that. And apparently the teacher had told her to go into timeout, and she refused to. And that's apparently when the daughter says that that was pulled out of her head.
Her teacher tried to pass it off as her sleeping messily at nap time and her hair getting messed up.
Yeah, so now Perez says she's outraged because there doesn't seem to be any urgency inside the school to deal with that teacher's aide. So that's why she said she's come to the press to tell the story so that maybe that'll force the school to do something about this teacher's aide.
She has ADD, but again, these people are supposed to be trained to deal with that, especially in her class. She's been having nightmares. She cries in her sleep. She's scared of school. If they assaulted her, they can be assaulting other children.
Yeah, so we reached out to cops in Jersey City to see if there was something to the story. They say, yeah, they are investigating. That doesn't mean anything happening, but they said they are investigating what happened to this 5-year-old girl inside PS 26.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.